Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Have you taken a look at the price of a cup of coffee at your favorite coffee shop? Maybe even chocolates. Or just take a look at your overall grocery basket. And of course, as South Africans, we typically bemoan the fact that things are expensive. But have you ever wondered why? What are the influences? What continues to see the shift in global prices? And most importantly, why does it impact us and our pockets directly? Well, we're going to get further insight into this now with Casey Sprake, economist at Anchor Capital. Casey, such a pleasure to speak to you.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for having me on the show today.
I'm excited about this one because we always pay attention to things that impact our pockets directly, right? And meat is meat and a man must eat. And typically when it comes to food, this is where we see it. So let's just contextualize firstly, what actually influences food prices? Because the price of an orange last year is not the same price that it's at today.
No, 100%. I mean, anything of relating to food inflation, of course, is a sensitive topic for all consumers across the board. But in South Africa, we sit in a unique environment in terms of the various impacts on food inflation. I mean, not to forget that as strong as an agricultural and farming sector that we have in South Africa, we actually remain a net importer of food items in this country. So we can't exactly produce everything that we consume. And as a result of that, we are very much beholden to the various dynamics globally. And that really impacts the food prices here in South Africa. So, of course, things like the geopolitical environment that we're seeing really at play at the moment, and naturally the exchange rate, it really does play a critical role in sort of shaping the food and inflation, as it, of course, affects the cost of products heavily traded in the in the global environment.
Definitely. And this is important, right? Because the dollar-rand exchange rate is not just a number that we quote randomly. It does influence and impact the price at which we can import and export goods. Let's also take a look at other factors that contribute to inflation, because it's not so long ago that a crisis and a war or the full-scale invasion of Russia into the Ukraine also sent shockwaves into the markets. It's a country that's far away, but ultimately did have an impact on us here on the African continent. Help us contextualize some of the additional factors that impact or influence inflation.
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, geopolitically, I think that's really been the story the last few years. You mentioned the invasion of Ukraine on the part of Russia. I mean, that was back in 2023. We saw, I think, record levels of food inflation in South Africa. We're sitting in double digits. It has, like, thankfully come down. But that's when we see instability in these international markets, especially in key producing regions such as Ukraine, for instance, it's seen as the breadbasket of greater sort of Eastern Europe. We see that sort of filtering down. Uncertainty drives markets to speculate, which drives prices higher. And of course, most importantly, it has knock-on effects on supply chain levels, on global supplies, on getting goods sending through. So another good example for that is we've seen the conflict between Israel and Gaza as well. That really sort of sets uncertainty around the east, around key sort of corridors along the Red Sea and the Suez Canal via Egypt. And that's where a lot of our international goods are routed through from a logistical point of view. Mm-hmm. So that just serves to drive prices up, not only of your end stuff, items for food, but of all the inputs as well that go into your farming processes. So the global world is so interconnected. When something seems to happen very far away, it really has an impact on right down here for us in South Africa.
Mm, definitely. Casey, I'm intrigued because there's a lot of data that actually shows some good news, some bad news, some uncomfortable news, but it seems as though we've made progress when it comes to looking at the 2024 food prices trends, specifically reflecting on data that's been released by the Food and Agricultural Organization of the United Nations. Help us unpack the global context, but more so what it means for us as South Africans.
Yeah, no, for globally, of course, we've seen prices come down nicely over the couple of last few years. And naturally, we do bar some month-on-month fluctuations. We saw that on the last, I think, month or two as well. Locally, we have seen a significant difference here in South Africa. Again, to put into context, I think it was back in April of 2023, food inflation in South Africa sat at 13.9% on a yearly basis. We now, for 2024, averaged 4.4%. So that's come down sort of significantly from that perspective. In January, food inflation was sitting at, I believe, 2.5%. So we've really come sort of a far distance. Unfortunately, we are expecting it to slowly start to uptick in the next few months, but we are very far away from reaching those record levels we saw back in 2023.
And this is also important because, as you say, there's a lot of exogenous factors that are at play. It's the currency, but it's also, I guess, the trade relationship we have with our international partners. Does that shift things looking at 2020?
Oh, no, definitely. I mean, that's extremely topical at the moment,
yeah.
Right? I think everyone knows, you know, since the inauguration of the US President Donald Trump, we've seen, of course, increased global uncertainty, along with all the various threats of tariffs across the globe, combined with Trump's sort of recent attacks on South Africa's sort of, international policies, for lack of a better phrasing, and also concerns, you know, about the stability of the GNU as a result. Again, we see that put pressure on the rand to the, versus the US dollar exchange rate. And again, to put that into context, for example, if the pressure on the local currency intensifies, as we've seen, you know, food inflation increases as imported goods and global commodity prices become more expensive, which again plays into the grander sort of scheme of things that everything's going on at the moment. But then again, conversely, you know, if the rand strengthens further, it could actually ease pressure on food prices and sort of help reduce inflationary pressures. So we see this sort of constant to and fro, and this sort of tug of war. And again, I emphasize how important the exchange rate is for us at the moment. So looking ahead, the direction of the exchange rate really will be a key determinant of how our food inflation environment evolves over the coming month. And then naturally, if we see these sort of tariffs come into play that the US administration is threatening at the moment, that's naturally just going to make everything more expensive across the globe. It's simply put.
Definitely. It's not just Trump that we're worried about, but it's also the weather conditions, right? Because whether it's your cappuccino from your local coffee store made with the Brazilian Arabica beans or just a bar of chocolate, we've been seeing the significant increases in some of these food items.
No, 100%. And again, that's been another sort of key theme that we've seen over the last few months. We've had some sort of severe, you know, weather conditions globally. We've seen them in major sort of maize producing countries like Brazil, the EU, US and Russia, actually, which really disrupted the maize production and kept prices high for several months. Again, maize sort of being a key input into many food items. And then locally as well, we saw El Nino induced weather events, you know, lead to a drop in maize production, particularly white maize, which saw price increases due to, again, lower local supply and high demand from Southern Africa in general due to the drought conditions that were put in. So we were exporting a lot of items through to Namibia, Zimbabwe, and Zambia, and those countries that were very, very desperate for food items. That just serves to make one sort of melting pot of higher prices.
Got you. Taking advantage of the fact that you are an economist, Casey, we can't ignore that we are in for a very busy week from an economics point of view. Not just the budget speech, but of course, even the quarterly labor index that gives us some insight into employment in South Africa. I guess a twofold question, but mainly, what are you looking for the finance minister to address this coming week? And maybe how that ties into your observations, calculations, and perhaps the different quants that you've put together regarding the economic outcomes for the year ahead in South Africa?
Yeah, so from, you know, our perspective on budget, we're just really looking for continuity, you know, more of the same, for the government to, you know, really show a continued sort of concerted effort for fiscal consolidation, to keep spending contained as a drive forward to really get our debt levels under control. That's the main for us in the long term. There are, of course, lots of spending pressures at the moment, with pressures to sort of formally institute the basic income grant for wage prices, etc. But in the day, we desperately need to get our debt under control, and that's where we'll be looking forward, looking for detail further ahead. We don't anticipate too much from budgets this year, in sense of sort of, you know, new sort of tax policies, etc. We believe everything so far is tracking online, but again, we're just looking for no surprises, uncomfortable surprises, should I say. And then, you know, looking ahead for the what that means for the greater economy, I think South Africa's still in for a long ride yet. Obviously, things are looking far more positive than they have for a long time post the formation of the GNU, and sort of investor sentiment turning more positive towards us. But we've got a long road to go ahead. I've always maintained that the problems we face in South Africa are very long-term structural issues. You mentioned unemployment, you know, skill shortages, infrastructure. These are not quick fixes. You know, of course, we've seen good drives on the infrastructure front with Eskom coming under control, you know, with new positive reforms and private sector participation in Transnet, etc. But these will take a long time to sort of roll through and really come to fruition. So if we can just keep sort of much of the status quo at the moment, keep pushing through that private sector initiative to keep the reform measures rolling, For the Government of National Unity to hold, and then just, I think, position ourselves a bit more strategically on the international policy front as well, yes. So we don't get sort of caught too much in the headwinds of the sort of, you know, global heavyweights. That's really where I think South Africa needs to be at the moment.
100%. Casey, I'm so excited, and I know you work with the team at Anchor Capital, so typically what you share around the economy influences the realm of investment, and we won't go there, but as we bring this home to South Africans, what do we need to be mindful of? Because all of these themes we've discussed are exogenous factors. And whilst we hope that we have this guide for Kodongwana and we can get Trump to calm down, ultimately we're still at the mercy of how all of these matters culminate and then influence us largely when it comes to inflation. So what do we need to do as South Africans?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's strange at this point. You know, we as Africans, we're so quick to blame ourselves and the mistakes we make domestically. Yes. But I think, I mean, to share the message that we are essentially imparting with our clients at the moment, and it's that we need to sort of look past the noise and the rhetoric that we are seeing at the moment. Obviously, headlines are extremely noisy. For us, we're looking past that, looking at the fundamentals that sit within our economy and advising our clients around that to basically close past the noise, position as best you can. The one thing we can expect from this year is volatility. Mm-hmm. That's where they're going without saying. And to just be cognizant of that. And again, look through the noise and deal with the fundamentals at play. Locally, markets have actually held up quite well, particularly within the sort of our bond markets and the JC, the equity market as well. And we sort of basically, yeah, investors are trying their best to look through the noise at the moment and just hold on tight to deal with the data reforms. You know, we have South Africa is making the necessary reforms. We are moving in the right direction. We anticipate hopefully some credit rating changes, not this year, but maybe towards the end of next year. If we can get off the grey list, that would be another fantastic win. So just keep doing what we're doing within South Africa and just hold on tight. I think it's going to be a very pumpy ride on the geopolitical side for the next couple of months.
Definitely. As you said, look through the noise. Casey, I've thoroughly enjoyed this conversation with you. Thank you so much.
Anna, fantastic. It was lovely to chat with you again. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. And of course, wonderful 2025 wish list for the budget speech that you've also given us some feedback on. It is available on the Anchor Capital website there, focusing on SOEs, of course, the social grants and many other themes that do feature. Big thank you again to Casey Sprague, who is an investment analyst at Anchor Capital, giving us some insight into the trend of food prices we've seen globally for 2024.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.